getting up here, I feel like. But well, good morning. It's really fun for me to get to come back here. Yeah, like you said, I've been here twice before, and so it's cool to get to come back to a place that I've been to, and I know some of you guys, and it's just cool to just be in your guys' worship service. Like, it's just cool seeing you guys worship, and I've built a decent relationship with Craig. I got to know him a lot better during my time here, but just hearing his heart for this church and you guys is cool. So so I'm finishing up an internship that's been crazy awesome. It's been really good, gotten a lot of experience, and God just given me a lot of direction in what he would like me to do, and so that's been really good. And so I know you guys are going through a series on 1 Peter. That's what you guys have been doing for the last several weeks, it sounds like. And I won't be preaching from 1 Peter this morning, but I am going to be talking about the guy who wrote it. And so it was really fitting when I chose this passage. I'm like, okay, we're talking about the guy who wrote 1 Peter. And what's really cool is we wouldn't have an Apostle Peter if it wasn't for this story that we're going to look through today. If this event had never happened, if this never took place, you'd have never heard the name Peter. You'd have never read what Peter has written. You would not have his letters in your hands right now, and you would not be going through a church series on it. And so we're going to look at an event that was really the point where Peter entered into ministry with Jesus, and we wouldn't know who he was without this really key event. And I really like this story a lot. This is just me kind of preaching my favorite. I was like, all right, I don't know when I'll be back in New Crossing. Let's just preach one of my favorite stories. And I love this story because I relate to it. I totally relate to what Peter goes through in this moment. And I think a lot of us can. And so I want us to really like slow down and just pick through this story this morning and see how you and I are actually a lot more like this first century Jewish fisherman than maybe we think that we are. And so this is one of those stories you can skim right past, but there's like a really key moment I want us to cue in on. And we're going to get to reading it. We're going to get to going through it and diving into it, but I kind of want to prep us for it before we get there. But there's this moment where Jesus asks Peter to do something. And Peter is kind of like, why? Why are you asking me to do this? What are you getting at, Jesus? What are you thinking? This doesn't seem to be going anywhere. And if we're honest, if I'm honest, if you're honest, if we're all honest this morning, we get to those moments with Jesus where we're like, Jesus, why? Why are you asking me to do this? Where is this taking me? This doesn't make sense. I don't know what you're getting at, Jesus. I think we get to these moments. And maybe you're already starting to think of times where this is true. I'll go through a few examples so you can maybe fill in your own or relate to one of these. But we go through these moments with Jesus, and we know he's asking us to do something. We know that he's looking for obedience, and we just think obedience leads to what? Obedience is take me where. Obedience is, what is that really going to take me? So I've seen this in a number of ways in my life, in the lives of other Christians, and just people that I've talked to. One of the big ones I've seen is evangelism, sharing our faith. You know, we're in kind of the non-denominational, e-free culture, and we just know sharing the gospel is a good thing. We know Jesus is asking us to do it. If you have family members who don't know Jesus, coworkers who don't know Jesus, you've got neighbors, you have friends, and you know if they don't know Jesus, Jesus is like, all right, get over there, like, come on, go, like, they need to hear the gospel, and we know that, but maybe you've had some frustrations with evangelism personally. Maybe you know other Christians who don't do it super well. You know Christians who are kind of judgmental, kind of critical, and you say, I don't really want to look like that. Or you have friends who aren't Christians, and they talk about how they don't like Christians talking about their faith and pushing their beliefs and talking about religion at work. And so maybe that's kind of hard for you. And, you know, maybe you have family members or neighbors or coworkers who are just so far from God. Just no interest. You invite them to church. They say no. You've maybe tried starting conversations. They don't want to talk about it. And so in your mind, you're just like, Jesus, I know you're asking me to keep sharing Christ with this person, but honestly, I don't know why. That's all that's going to do is take me to an argument. All it's going to take me to is a debate. If I try and share Christ with this person, it's just going to ruin our Thanksgiving dinner again. You know, there are these times where we know Jesus is saying, hey, go share your faith with this person. We say, I don't think that's really taking me anywhere, Jesus, if I'm honest. Seems like it's just heading towards an argument. And so we hold back. We say, you know what? I don't think I'm going to be obedient here because I don't think obedience is leading me anywhere. Obedience is leading to what? Another one that I've seen in my life, little white lies. this is one that I know I can resonate with. Maybe I'll just say this is for me this morning. But there are some serious advantages to exaggerating the truth once in a while. There are benefits when you kind of cover up embarrassing stories or kind of change what happened a little bit, right? Like people who aren't totally honest, like get out of tickets and, you know, they can cover up their mistakes at work easier. I had a friend who he was a bus driver and there was no one in his bus. This was like end of the day, he was coming back and he broke some rule. I don't know if he was just negligent or he forgot or I don't know what it was. But he like felt a real conviction to go tell his boss. He's like, all right, I broke this rule. I should go tell my boss. And guess what happened to him when he told his boss? He got fired. They let him go. He's like, all right, there's the door. My friend was like, are you kidding me? I get fired for being honest? What is that? And it's one of those situations where we think, okay, Jesus, obedience is not taking me anywhere good. Like covering up this embarrassing story, just bending the truth a little bit is just going to make it a whole lot easier. And so this is what I've noticed. I've noticed myself just exaggerating because complete honesty doesn't seem to really benefit me, doesn't really seem to take me anywhere. Maybe for you, you're struggling with a sin. You're struggling with something that keeps coming back. Can't fight it. You can't get rid of it. And you know Jesus asking you to take another step to fight that sin. Maybe it's confess it to Pastor Craig. Maybe it's talk about it with your spouse or your kids. It's talk about it with some friends at church. And you're thinking, okay, opening up about this is not really going to help me. It's going to push me out of a leadership position in the church. It's going to cause tons of conflicts with me and my spouse. It's just Jesus, obedience in this, doing what you want me to do is not going to really produce anything good. And so we hold back. We say, you know what? That doesn't seem to be taking me anywhere good. And so we hold back. Obedience is taking me where? I think this just happens all the time, just in subtle ways in our walks with Jesus. And, you know, I think a lot of times this isn't necessarily true. And I think especially with this church, this isn't always true. You guys know obedience can bring life and peace. It can restore your relationships. There are a lot of great benefits to being obedient to Jesus, and maybe you've seen that. So maybe you're thinking, no, a lot of times what Jesus asked me to do makes total sense. But I think a lot of times this lives in the subtleties of our day. This lives in these little minute decisions, like how am I going to respond to this person right now? Like, how am I going to respond to my kid when he is just on my last nerve? Like, that moment. Am I going to just, like, lash out and give it to him because that's what feels right and that's what seems effective to me? Or if Jesus is nudging me to extend grace in that moment, am I going to do that? Even if it seems less logical, even if it seems like it's not going to produce what you would like produced. So I think this lives in the subtleties. How am I going to respond to this coworker? How am I going to share this story? What am I going to do when my spouse says this or does that or does this thing that I can't stand? What are you going to do? And all those subtle little moments. And so we can lean into obedience and say, all right, I'm completely yours, Jesus. Every little decision you ask me to do, I'm going to go for it. But we get to these points where it doesn't seem like it's really going to benefit us. And so we just kind of hold back. And we pull back. We don't fully lean into what God is looking for us to do. And I think this happens for a lot of us in a lot of ways. Maybe for you it's tithing. It's giving your money. You just say, it's just like, I think Jesus wanted me to give more, but I really need money for something else. And so obedience is not going to help me very much. Maybe for you it's conflict resolution. I was talking to some of the staff about some of their examples of this, and one girl was like, conflicts. I know I'm supposed to go talk to someone. I know I'm supposed to seek reconciliation, but I just don't because it's a fight and it's hard and it's uncomfortable and it doesn't always work. And so I just hold back even though I know Jesus is looking to restore our relationship. So she said she shied away from conflict. And you can continue to fill in your own here. But we get to these points. We say, all right, obedience, where does that take me? Obedience, where is that leading me? And so we're going to go through this story this morning of Peter and an encounter he has with Jesus. And so I'm just going to build this morning to one insight, just one idea that's going to help us in this area of obedience. And so we're going to see in this story that obedience every time is the right decision. Obedience, no matter what the situation is always the best call. It is always the smart decision. You should always, and obviously we can't always be obedient, but in any situation you're in, no matter how small, no matter how big, if Jesus is asking you to pick up and move to a different country, or he's asking you just to, you know, extend forgiveness to a coworker who's really hard for you to extend forgiveness to, obedience is always the right decision. And it doesn't always look like the right decision. And that's not going to change. And I'm not arguing that's not going to change. There are times where being completely honest doesn't look like it's going to do anything good for you. Like, those situations will likely stay. But hopefully this morning this story will help us see that obedience is always the right decision. So you'll have the conviction and motivation to just lean into what Jesus is looking for you to do, no matter what, every situation, every time. And so we're going to be looking at Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. If you have a Bible, you can open up there. I will have all the words on the screen if you want to follow along. So this is pretty early in Jesus's ministry. So at this point, Jesus is kind of this minor celebrity guy. And people are starting to flock from farther and farther away. You start getting Gentiles, even from Gentile regions, coming in, and they're seeking healing and they're seeking teaching. And so they knew Jesus could heal and they knew he could teach. And so we're kind of in another episode where people are coming to Jesus and they're looking to hear him teach. And they don't know totally what Jesus is all about yet. They're not sure exactly what Jesus, his exact mission is. But let's go through the story. So one day as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, and that's the Sea of Galilee, same thing, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. And so they all come, Jesus is at the water's edge, they're all coming up, and they're kind of like pushing Jesus into the water. And Jesus is like, okay, there's nowhere else for me to go, so I'm going to have to figure this out. So Jesus, because Jesus is really, really smart because he's Jesus, he figures something out. So he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. And so he looks over, he sees these fishermen, and we notice they're washing their nets. And so what we can infer from that is that they were finishing up for the day. They were all done. They had done their fishing. They usually fished at nights, and so they had done their 8 hours. You know, it's time to wrap up, go watch some Netflix or something. But they were all done for the day. And so Jesus notices these guys, and right now they're just unnamed fishermen. He sees them washing their nets, and he looks over, and this is what he does. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. And so now we get the first name, Simon. That is Simon Peter. And we have seen him before in this letter. His mother-in-law was healed in the chapter before. So he knew Jesus, and he knew Jesus could heal his mother-in-law, at least. So he had respect for Jesus. So Jesus asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So Jesus gets in the boat. This is classic. You know, if you grew up in Sunday school, you remember like coloring this story, right? Like Jesus out in the boat and everyone's pressing up onto him in the shore. And so this is one of these really kind of typical Jesus episodes that we see. But we get to this point now where Jesus is teaching and he turns to the fishermen. And this is moment. This is so key. So I want us to focus in. I want us to like put ourselves in this situation and kind of feel what Simon Peter is feeling here. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." So I don't know how much fishing Jesus has done. I'm not sure. Probably not as much as Simon, though. Right? Simon's the fisherman. This is what Simon does, like him and his posse. That's their gig. And they had just been fishing all night. They're washing their nets. They're wrapping it up. It's time to go home. And so Jesus turns to them. He turns from his teaching, and he turns to Peter. He says, "Hey, Peter, go out there and drop your nets in the water." And what's so cool is this reaction is exactly how I would react. This is exactly what I would say. If I was in Simon's situation, what Simon was going through, this is exactly what I would say. He's just like, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." Haven't caught anything. Imagine that, going to work all day. This is like their money, right? I mean, going to work all day, no fish, nothing, haven't caught anything. And now Jesus is like, "Hey, Simon, like, get back out there, buddy." Simon's like, "Why? Why do you want me to do this, Jesus? I'm the fisherman. Like, you're really great at this, like, preaching from the boat thing. Like, that's cool. I'll, like, let you handle that. That's your deal. I'm the fisherman. There are no fish out there. And now there's all these people pressing up against the shore. If there were any fish, they are long gone. It's daylight. The fish aren't here, Jesus. Jesus, why? What are you getting at? Jesus, I know what I'm doing. I'm the fisher guy. This is my job. Jesus, why? What are you up to? And so here we get to his response. And this response blows my mind. And this is the kind of hard attitude I long to have, and the kind of reaction to what Jesus asked me to do that I hope to have. He says, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Because you say so. Let's say those four words together. Because you say so. Let's say it one more time. Because you say so. Because you say so. Based not on what I think about your command, based not on what seems logical to me, based not on what feels right, but based on you, based on Jesus' authority, based on who Jesus is, because of who this command is coming from, Simon Peter says, because you say so, I will let down the nets. And some commentators say he's being kind of like snarky here. Like, all right, I guess because you say so, I'll drop the nets. I don't totally buy that. Jesus just healed his mother-in-law. So I think he had respect and reverence for Jesus. I think he really felt like, all right, Jesus must have something up his sleeve. And if you've been in church, if you're a church person, if you're a Bible person, if you grew up, you know what happens next. Crazy things happen next. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So he signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats full, so full that they began to sink. And so, I mean, you can imagine, put yourself in this situation where Simon's like, okay, it said that they had to go out. They had done so. So it took like multiple people to go drop these big nets in the water. And at that point, these fish just start pouring in. They're like flopping everywhere. And like they start taking on water. They got to call like their friends to come help them. I mean, imagine just like the chaos and confusion. Just like, what is happening? You know, they were out all night, caught zero fish. And suddenly they are just pouring into his boat. Just pouring in. Imagine how crazy that would have been. Again, this is the kind of story we hear a lot, but that would have been like insane. You'd just be like, what is going on? I don't even understand. So Simon also reacts in a way that I think I would too. He says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Simon instantly, based on what he sees, the authority Jesus has, Simon is like, all right. I am not a good guy. There's been a lot of sailor talk out of my mouth in the years. There's been a lot of bad decisions. I do not follow these 600-some rules I'm supposed to be. And this guy clearly has complete authority over nature. He could just bleh, there it is, all the fish. There. And Simon's like, ah. And so Simon says, away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. He feels the weight of comparison. He instantly looks inward and feels shame. He just looks at himself. Based on this encounter with the real Jesus, that's his gut response. I can't even be in the presence of Jesus. Seeing his authority, seeing who he really was, can't even be there. And the reason for he and his companions were astonished. They were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partner. So we see James and John, who would also become apostles with Peter. And so now we see Jesus respond to this. Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Don't be afraid. He knows that Simon is not the best guy ever. He knows he's kind of rough around the edges. And he says, do not fear. You are coming with me. You are joining me. I love you. I care about you. I want you on my team. So Jesus, right away, he just gets rid of his fear and says, you know what? You're coming with me. And Simon, when he experiences these two things, the authority and the love, the power and the mercy, Jesus' authority and his grace pair together. He is hooked. Now we got the fishermen being hooked, not the fish this time. So they pulled up their boats on shore, left everything, and followed him. You know, this is like one of those times where you're supposed to read all that stuff, and then you like click I agree at the end, and like no one does. You know what I'm talking about? This was basically Simon. He's like, I don't even know what's going on, but let's do this thing, right? He's like, I don't even care what I'm signing up for. Tell me the details when we get there, but I'm going to leave my job. I'm going to leave whatever I have back here, and I'm following that guy. And it was based on the encounter he had with Jesus. He saw the authority and the love. So the power and the mercy paired together. And when you are in the presence of that, all you do is follow. That's all you can do. When you see someone who loves you and knows you, all you do is say, all right, I'm going with this guy, I'm in. And I think when I've heard this passage talked about, you get kind of the time to drop everything and go follow Jesus type sermons, and that doesn't feel super genuine to what this text is really getting us to think about. Peter just naturally got knee-jerk reaction to follow Jesus based on this encounter, based on what he saw and experienced. And so that's kind of what is going to actually cause you to follow Jesus, is you experiencing and having an encounter with Jesus. So I want to back up to that middle part of that story, that decision. And that is where I really think the key is. And I just want to ask you, what are you going to do when Jesus asks you to drop your net in the water? When Jesus says, hey, go out there into deep water, get your friends to help you, and drop your nets. What are you going to do when Jesus asks you so clearly in your gut to go share Christ with that coworker who seems so far from God? What are you going to do when Jesus asks you to be completely honest about why you're late to work this morning? Are you going to do it? Are you going to go ahead and do as Jesus asks you to do? What are you going to do when Jesus asks you clearly, he's prodding you, pleading with you to confess a sin struggle with someone, with a Christian friend or your spouse or your pastor? Are you going to go out and trust Jesus? Are you going to drop your nets in the water? What are you going to do when Jesus asks you to do something and you're not sure what he's getting at, and you're not totally tracking, and in your heart, you're feeling a lot of resistance, you're afraid, or you're nervous, or you're just not sure if this even makes sense, but you know Jesus is asking you to do it? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when Jesus asks you to go drop your nets in the water? And so this is the attitude Simon says, and this is the attitude Simon says. Huh. This is the attitude that Peter says, and this is what he has, and this is what I just want us to have and develop. So Jesus says it, I'll do it. Jesus says it, I'll do it. This is the way Simon reacts. This is the way Peter reacts. And this is the kind of people we need to be, the kind of mentality we need to have, the decision we need to make now before we get out there, before we get to the point where Jesus says, hey, go drop your nets in the water. Do we have this mentality? If Jesus says it, I'll do it. Jesus says it, I'll do it. I don't know what it is. I don't care what it is. If Jesus says it, I will do it. And this sentence, this might kind of make you nervous or be like, well, I don't know. And I think the reason it makes you nervous is because if this wasn't Jesus, this would not be true of any other person ever. This is not Pastor Craig says it and I'll do it, right? Like, Pastor Craig is wise and he knows the Bible and he has, you know, authority in some sense over this church. But any time a person tells you to do something, you kind of got to filter it a little bit and be like, okay, well, Pastor Craig can be wrong sometimes, maybe, and so I kind of got to filter it. But Jesus has proven himself to you to be someone worth doing what he says, no matter what it is. Jesus, for each and every one of you, he has gone to the cross and he has died for you. He has suffered and he was crucified for you to live and have eternal life. He has proven his track record with you. He has proven that he has your best interest in mind. He has proven that he loves you. He's proven that he knows what he's doing. He knows the plan. He's got it all figured out. Don't worry, I've got all the details worked out. You just do what I say. When I ask you to go drop your nets in the water, just do it. The plan is going to work. It's all set. It is all taken care of. And so this is only true with Jesus. You can't fill this in with a pastor. You can't fill this in with a really great preacher. This is only Jesus, that this can be true. This is the attitude that we need to have. Jesus says it, I'll do it. No questions asked, I am in. Jesus says it, I'll do it. And I think there are a number of ways we know when Jesus is asking us to do something. There are a number of ways, and I think oftentimes we know the what. We oftentimes know what Jesus is asking us to do. You know, sometimes it's just a gut feeling. It's like, oh, I know that Jesus is prodding me right now. Sometimes it's through the Bible. Hopefully a lot of times it's through the Bible. The Bible is a lot of words of Jesus, and it is God's word to us, and he asks us to do things through the Bible. Maybe it's through Christian counsel, it's through a pastor, it's through someone. God totally works through other believers to ask us to do things. So there are a number of ways that Jesus asks us to do things. So I think oftentimes we know the what. So that's not really the problem. It's more often, are we really going to do it? Are we really going to commit? And this is why this is so important. I think this attitude is so important for each of us, is because we are going to run into these drop your net type moments. We are going to run into those. There will be times throughout our entire lives, no matter how long you've been walking with Jesus, how long you've been a Christian, where Jesus will ask us to do things we would not normally, naturally do throughout the course of our day. Jesus is not a bobblehead. He's not just standing up there nodding back at everything you do and everything you think and everything you say and your whole course of your life and everything you're planning and everything you are. Jesus is not just like, yep, good job, keep going. You know, he's not some two-dimensional drawing. He's not some wispy, wimpy Jesus. Like, Jesus is kind of in our face, I think. We have a relationship with Jesus, and he's pushing us around, and he's urging us to change, and he's getting in our business, and he's challenging us and stretching us and pushing us to go forward. And so if your Jesus is never asking you to do something that's hard or uncomfortable or kind of challenges your thinking, you may have way too weak of a Jesus that you are fabricating in your mind. You may have a bobblehead Jesus who's just nodding back at everything you do. If you can't remember last time you were convicted of a sin and you needed to work at it, if you can't remember last time you were reading the Bible, you just got to a point and you're like, ah, this is for me. I need this. I need to change. This is God asking me. You can't remember, like, if you don't have an answer for what God is teaching you right now, you may just have a really flat bobblehead Jesus that's kind of like around, but he's not really asking you to do a lot. And so if you are in a relationship with the real guy, with the real person of Jesus, he's going to be kind of in your face once in a while. He's going to be asking you to go drop your nets in the water if you're listening, if you're in tune with who he really is. And so that's why this is so huge. If you can't relate to this, it may be because you have a Jesus in your brain that you have fabricated, and he's not the real guy. And so we need to come to the real Jesus and be in tune with him and know that there are times where he's going to ask us to go out and do something that we wouldn't naturally normally do. And so we'll all come to these moments. And so it's important for all of us to decide now, am I going to drop my nets in the water when Jesus asked me to? And there's more to this story. And so this is like half of my point this morning, is that Jesus says that I'll do it. But there's more to the story. When Peter did what Jesus asked him to do, he got to encounter the real person of Jesus. Jesus came and there was the miracle of the fish. But it was so much more than that. It wasn't like just some miracle. I'm not saying if you obey Jesus, he'll do some awesome miracle and you'll be like, whoa, so cool. That's probably not what's going to happen. But he used that to bring Simon in. Jesus showed him his authority and his grace. He showed him, like, Simon, this is what I want for you. I want you to join me. And Simon would have never experienced that if he had not dropped his nets in the water. If he had not gone out there and put his nets down, he would not have had this encounter with the real Jesus. It was hinging. Jesus was waiting until Simon took that first step. And then when he did, Jesus came. Jesus showed up. And so that's kind of the fullness of my point this morning. Jesus says it, I do it. Jesus shows up. Jesus says it, I do it. Jesus shows up. And I think this is true of all of our, all of the times that Jesus is asking us to go drop our nets in the water. This is true. That when we do as Jesus asks, we get to watch Jesus actually respond to our obedience. We get to actually see what he does. We get to have an interaction, an encounter with the real person of Jesus. When people start sharing their faith, people come to faith. That's just the correlation. People become our focus. Say, you know what, I'm going to start sharing the gospel with friends and family and coworkers. You know, I can't guarantee every single person you share the gospel with is going to just accept Christ and everything like that. But when people start to be outward focused, people come to faith. Jesus responds. He shows up. He says, okay, that's great. You came and you dropped your net in the water. You came and you started opening up your mouth about me and you invited and you were warm and you loved people that you were around and you were intentional. And so now I'm going to show up and do work. And those are some of the coolest stories that you hear of people who come to faith, who they'd been like praying for God to like reveal himself to them. And then like a believer finally gets up the nerve to talk to them and then they become a Christian. They're like, yeah, I was waiting for this to happen. Such a cool testimony. I've heard about that a number of times. So when Jesus asks us to do something, we respond in obedience. We get to see Jesus actually show up and do something. And that's true of all our steps of obedience. You know, maybe for you it's just reading the Bible every day. Because that gets hard. You know, you get stuck in like Leviticus and Deuteronomy and you're kind of trudging through the Old Testament and you kind of start to back off because you're thinking, I don't always get a lot out of it. I could do other things with my time. But when you say, you know what? No, I'm going to commit to this. I'm going to drop my nets in the water. I'm going to read all this old stuff. I'm going to read passages of the Bible that I kind of normally shy away from. You say, I'm going to dig into these. Jesus just shows up in those decisions, and he teaches us things, and he stretches us, and he does things in our lives. You know, it's just, I have a couple of friends right now who are just kind of like on fire for God, and they're just doing stuff. They're doing prayer nights, and they're just meeting non-Christians and hanging out with them all the time, and God has just done stuff. God has healed people, and God has, people have accepted Christ, and it's like, oh, and we start like getting out there and doing the kinds of things Jesus is asking us to do, he's like ready with a plan, just like in place, like, yeah, I'm ready to show up. If you guys like take a step towards me, I'm ready to show up. And I think this still even happens in all those little situations. Like my friend who got fired from his job, in the short term, that did not feel very good. But in the long term, he ended up in a job that was way better. And it was so clear God was leading him away from that. So God has a plan with our obedience. He has something in mind. And, you know, there may be times where you obey and you say, all right, I'm going to kind of take a risk. I'm going to take a step of faith, go out, drop my nets in the water, and you don't know where Jesus is. And so I can't guarantee that every single time you're going to see some miracle, you're going to see something crazy happen. But even in those situations, Jesus is looking to do something in you. He's looking to mature you. He's looking to grow you. And sometimes you might just not see the fruit of it. You know, you think about missionaries going to China for years and years and years and not seeing anything and being killed and no one's coming to faith. And now the church is just exploding based on all that work from a century ago. You know, you might not always see it, but Jesus has a plan with every piece of obedience. He wants to reconcile relationships. If you have a relationship and you're like, you just keep resisting talking to this person, you keep resisting extending forgiveness, you're holding bitterness on. If you just say, all right, I'm going to take a step towards this person, I'm going to forgive, I'm going to count this person more significant than myself. Jesus is a God who reconciles relationships. And so if we're willing for Jesus to do that, he's ready to do it, and he wants to do it, and he's eager to do it. One of these examples that I've heard a lot is married couples who just have a really, really hard marriage. And it's a Christian couple, but it's just really hard, and it would be so much easier to get a divorce. So much easier. If they didn't have to live together, if they didn't have to deal with each other, they could just be separated. It just would be so much easier. And I know a Christian couple who made the decision, the obedient decision, to stay married, because they knew that's what Jesus was asking them to do. And God totally has reconciled that relationship. They're such a testimony to other people. They do like marriage counseling and stuff like that. And it's just cool. It would have been so easy to be like, Jesus, divorce is like totally easier. And staying in this marriage, that's not taking me anywhere. But they decided to drop their nets in the water and trust Jesus and say, okay, we're going to do this, I guess. And Jesus has totally worked in their lives. And it's such a testimony to people around them. So there's tons of ways that we can see this happen. And I think why this is so cool, this is why this is so encouraging to me and so exciting. And I'm going to like kind of clarify this a couple times because I want to make sure that it doesn't sound like I'm being heretical here. But what this means for us is that there may be real acts of God, miracles of Jesus, just hinging upon all our obedient decisions. There may be Jesus may just be waiting to show up in our obedience. That's just hinging on us. Whether we take the step of obedience or not changes whether we see Jesus come in and do something miraculous, whether we're willing to be obedient. And it's just so cool to me to think that all my little decisions throughout my day, there may be acts of God just right on the other side of it, just right on the other side of the fence, right past it. I don't totally understand right now, but I'm going to be obedient. There may be a really great miracle, an act of God, where you get to see his authority, you get to feel his grace and his mercy coming together. It was maybe hinging. Jesus may be waiting to do crazy things in your life, in other people's lives, maybe looking to grow you, reconcile a relationship, bring someone to himself, answer a prayer. He may be just waiting to do it, and he's like, just drop your net, Just drop your net. I'm just ready to go. I'm just ready to go. If you start confessing that sin, I'm going to like bring healing and you're going to be helping other people fight that sin for the rest of your life. And I'm waiting to do it if you would just be willing to trust me and drop your net in the water. And so I'm not saying that Jesus can't perform miracles outside of our obedience. Okay, we know by the cross, Jesus came first when we were a bunch of sinful idiots and he stepped in when we didn't even want anything to do with him. So obviously Jesus can do that, and I'm not saying we're manipulating Jesus or we're making him do something. I'm also not saying that either. But I am saying there may be real acts of God, real decisions Jesus makes based on what we do every day. And there may be a real encounter with Jesus on the other side of that. And so I want you guys to just like lean into obedience. And so that's kind of my advice from this passage. This is what I'm urging you to think about. And so this is just, as I close, this is just my final, I guess, push for you guys. Is think of a place in your life where you are resistant to complete surrender. Think of a place. Is it how you spend your time? Is it how much you read your Bible? Is it who you're building relationships with at work? Is it, you know, maybe a conflict with your spouse you keep avoiding? What is it? It can be really small. It can be big. Maybe Jesus is asking you to, you know, pack up and move. Leave to another place. You feel a calling somewhere else and you've been resisting it. I don't know. But think of a place where you know deep down you know you've been resistant. And so I'm just asking you to try Jesus on it. Just try him. Drop your nets in the water. Say, you know what? I'm going to be obedient in this. I've been resistant because I'm afraid. I've been resistant because it's hard. I've been resistant because I'm embarrassed. I've been resistant because my way seems better in my head. Just trust Jesus on it. I'm not saying those feelings are going to just magically go away. But drop your nets in the water and see what he does. See what happens. See how Jesus shows up. And when the encounter with Jesus happens, when we see the real authority of Jesus and we meet him and we feel our sinfulness and Jesus says to you, don't be afraid, that's when you'll be drawn deeper in. You'll say, okay, I'm in Jesus. I'm more in than I was before. I'm leaving more behind. I'm more committed to you and walking with you. And so I don't want to say, hey, leave everything and follow Jesus. And that's maybe how some people would talk about this passage. But I'm urging you guys, lean into obedience. Is there some way you have been resisting Jesus? Jesus says it, I'll do it. And Jesus shows up. Jesus says it, I'll do it. Jesus shows up. See what happens. Write something down. Think of a way you've been resistant. And try Jesus. Just try him on it this week, today. Tell someone about what you're going to do and see how Jesus shows up in that. So I'll pray and the band can come up. Jesus, I thank you for this story. We thank you for Simon Peter, how you called him and how we have benefited by his teachings today and by his ministry today. Jesus, I pray that we would more fully seek obedience, Lord. I pray that we would trust you when it's hard, that we would lean into doing what you ask us to do when it is scary or difficult or uncomfortable. And Lord, we know obedience in a lot of ways is great, and it's fun, and it's fun following you, and it's cool getting to, yeah, live within your will. But God, I know there's ways I in my heart still hold back. And Jesus, I pray that you would, just by your Spirit, just fill us now and show us where we are resisting you. And I pray, Jesus, that we would trust you because you say so, because of your goodness and your authority and your wisdom. We would trust you and we would drop our nets in the water. When you're asking us to do something, and we know it, it lines up with Scripture, it lines up with your Spirit impressing upon us, it lines up with what other Christians are saying, we know it's from you. God, I pray that we would do it. We have the faith and the courage to follow you out into the water. So Jesus, I don't know how you're going to show up in all these decisions. I don't know if you're going to show up in a really big way, a really visible way. Maybe it'll be really subtle. But Jesus, we thank you that you do want to encounter us. We thank you that you love us and you invite us in. And you say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You're joining me now. You're on my team. You'll be fishing for people now. And so Jesus, I pray that when we encounter you, that we would follow you and leave everything. everything. And I thank you for this group of people who have chosen to follow you, who have given up everything for you, Father. I pray that you would continue to pull us in deeper. And with each act of obedience, we would see more and more that you're not a bobblehead. You're not some kind of boring God. You are real, and you are pushing us and urging us, and you are doing things in our lives and our hearts. And so we thank you that you're powerful and you want to have a thriving relationship with us. And so, Jesus, just show us ways we're resisting you, and give us the faith.